The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, I'm Sharzad.
Hi, I'm Susan, and we are in our second podcast.
Woo! You guys are still here, hopefully. You're going to come back again and again.
I actually have a question for you, Sharzad.
Talk to me.
How did you know you wanted to have kids? And I actually ask that all the time because I know I wasn't one of those people. I definitely did not want to have kids, and we'll talk about that later, but I want to know, how did you know you wanted to have kids?
I know that about you, and I think it's interesting, and it's why I wanted to talk about this, because we have different viewpoints, and that's great. I was just one of those people that loved kids, truly, from the bottom of my heart, loved being around little kids. 5-year-old kids was like my favorite age always, but I grew up in a big family. I grew up with a lot of cousins. I've mentioned this before, but I'm half Iranian, so usually, stereotypically, and there's a lot of truth to it, Iranians have huge families, and that was definitely the case for me. So I grew up with a lot of cousins. I come from a, I guess, pretty decent sized family, older brother, little sister. When I was 5, basically for my 5th birthday, I got a little sister as a gift. My sister was born right before my 5th birthday, and I just felt like she was my doll, and I got to learn how to change her diaper, and I thought that was just so cool as a little girl to have a live doll to play with.
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
I think that way.
How's your sister feel about that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask her. But I really enjoyed being around kids. And even in high school, one of my jobs senior year was working at a daycare close to my house. And I just thought it was really fun to be around little ones. I knew that I wanted to attempt to be a mom. I used to think I'd have 3 or 4 kids. I just thought that sounded wonderful to just hang out with little kids. I also feel like I had an awesome mom, and she made me want to be a mom. I thought she was an incredible example of just a really loving, warm human. And she also worked, and she had this unique balance of like being a working mom. And I truly always thought of myself that I'd be a working mom. That was like one of my goals. Marriage, I was iffy about.
Yeah, same.
Because I've always been boy crazy, and the thought of one man, just I didn't know how I could handle that. But
we're like the call me daddy girls, except when they have now settled down and had kids.
Luckily, when I entered into my relationship with Michael, I'd had a lot of experience, and I was comfortable that I was making one of the best decisions of my life to be with him. It was a no-brainer for me personally when I met Michael, and I knew he wanted to have kids. He has 3 sisters, so he came from a good-sized family as well, and he liked kids. You know, some guys don't necessarily vocalize their love for kids, but I knew he'd be really into kids and be a great person to raise them with. But when we got married, I met him when I was 25. We got married at 26. So when I think about that now, I was pretty young. But it worked really well for us. He's 9 years older than me, so he was ready to settle down as well. But one of the things that was important for me to do before I had kids was to travel. And luckily for me, like, I was able to, and I grew up with just a really well-traveled set of parents. My dad's an immigrant, as I've mentioned before. He came to America when he was 25 from Iran. My mom lived in multiple countries. She traveled around the world as a hippie for like 3 years, lived in India, lived in England, lived in Iran, where she met my dad and came back to America with him. And so I've really been exposed to a lot of culture, and travel was something that was just, it had to happen before kids. I had this fear going into motherhood that I would like never go to another country again.
Like and never that, set foot on an airplane.
Never go anywhere again. And I was sort of scared that my life before I became a mom, I felt like my life was going to kind of end in some ways. I guess I had this weird fear and I really wanted to like check some things off a bucket list. And luckily I've always been an entrepreneur and worked for myself, and I've been able to create a flexible life and schedule. And so is Michael. So we're really fortunate in that way. And we were able to see a lot of the world before we decided to settle down. I also just in my head, and this is dumb, but I think a lot of people do it, I sort of put like a number on it. I was like, I want to be a mom by 30.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I felt like that was a good number. It just seemed like not too old, not too young. It seemed in my whatever shaped my views, it seemed like that was a good number to kind of hit. Like it seemed like I'll be responsible by 30. I will have been married for 3 years. It felt like that would be the right time. And I have to say, fortunately for us, it was the right time. We were really lucky in the sense that we got pregnant pretty quickly. I mean, yeah, I've been, and that was, you know, 5.5 years. Well, but I got pregnant. It was, I guess, 6.5 years ago. Wow, so I had my baby at 30.
You actually hit your timeline.
I did, which is wild to
me.
You're
a creep. Okay.
I know. That's creepy. That's not necessarily normal, but I did hit that timeline. That's what I'm saying. I'm really lucky in that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, being Michael being a little bit older than me, it was important for him to do it also before he got too old, you know?
Yeah, because he's old.
Yeah. Well, now he's 45. Like I said, he's 9 years older than me. But
you know, my husband says this to me all the time because he's pretty close to Michael's age. He's in his mid-40s.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm an old man. And I'm like, you know, you kind of are an old man.
I mean, I think our husbands, like, they both have such great skin that it makes them look young and they have good energy. I mean, Michael has
they act like children.
Skin. And they
That's
also act like, you know, they have good, they have young energy. I don't know if it's because we're in California or they have good genes or because they have really hot wives and they keep them young. Hot young wives. No, I'm kidding. So that was a thing too. Like, we want to do it before Michael is, you know, feels too old. Everybody's different with what feels right for them. But for us, that's what we wanted. And like I said, I had that timeline and I hit it, which is crazy. And then for me, I really wanted kids close in age because my brother and I are like a year and a half apart and Shireen and I are 5 years apart. And those all seemed like pretty good spreads, you know. So my sweet spot, again, was like, I want them 2.5 years apart. And don't hate me, guys, but I got that.
But I do remember when you were trying to get pregnant with your second with Cyrus, you were like, you actually had given up. Remember? You'd kind of been like, nah, we've stopped. Like, I remember you told me like 3-4 months before that you guys were trying. And then I talked to you one day and you're like, You're like, well, nah, we've decided that like we're not gonna try anymore, and if it happens, it happens, but we're not gonna try anymore. And we were doing an episode of Cool Sculpting.
And
then I was like following up with you and following up. I was like, you need to finish the Cool Sculpting treatment so our viewers can see what the results were. And guess what she said to me?
I'm pregnant. See, Cyrus happened so fast to me. Like we wanted to have another baby pretty quickly, and then I feel like in my mind we wanted it and then it happened. Like I could have actually potentially waited a titch longer. I mean, now I'm happy because I'm sort of out of the trenches, which I always talk about with Susan, is that there's this period of time when I felt like I was really in the trenches, and you are currently in them.
I'm in the season.
Yeah.
I'm in that season.
You are in that season, and I'm like just getting out of that season, and I just want you to know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But for me, I wanted my kids. I wanted them close in age. I wanted to be on the lower end of 30. That's what I wanted. And I'm really lucky that I got that. I also, you know, for a little while, always toyed with the idea of having a third. And so I wanted to like get in, get out, and then leave that option open. Now I just really don't
think. Get in, get out, leave the option open.
Now I just don't. I really don't think I can handle a third. You know, I truly in my heart don't think I can. And I have two nieces that sort of like serve that need of ever wanting to have a girl.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I have three nieces that I'm close with. So, and I have little Isla too.
My little baby too.
But anyway, so that was me. And I, you know, again, the things that a lot of people say, there's never a right time to have a baby. And you'll hear that kind of thing a lot. And you're never really prepared.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I felt like, no, I was ready to when I had my baby at 30. Like that was a good time for me. Any earlier and I might have had a titch of like, damn it, I should have gone to Thailand. Or shit, I never made it to Japan. I would have had maybe a bit of resentment. But when I went into that chapter of my life, I really felt ready.
Mm-hmm.
I felt financially ready. I felt like I was in a great place with my marriage and my husband, and that we had like a good solid foundation before we went into this journey of being parents together. Because I can really rock your marriage. So if you don't have a solid foundation, even if you do have a solid foundation,
yes,
it can be a wild ride. So I wanted to have some good memories with him. And, you know, don't hate me, but it worked out in that way. Knock on wood. Susan.
Yeah.
Have you been taking CBD?
No, I haven't tried CBD actually. Have you?
Girl, please.
Yeah.
Of course I have. I take it all the time for sleep and it's supposed to help with anxiety, depression.
I have friends who actually give it to their dog.
Really?
Because their dog is getting old and needs help and they couldn't find anything. So they think CBD is the way to go.
I grew up in a very CBD friendly house. So, so I still live in a CBD friendly house.
Which brand are you doing?
I'm currently using Hempland USA.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a super pepperminty kind of feel and it really works. I think it really calms me and helps me sleep. The best thing about Hempland USA is they have a next level CBD product called ECS5 that no other company has.
Wait, what? I don't even understand what that is.
it's a ECS5 contains a unique blend of black pepper, clove, hops, rosemary, jujube that supercharges CBD so that your body can process it more efficiently.
Wait,
and get all the benefits.
I like that. I like the word jujube.
I like that word too. I want to keep saying jujube.
I want to eat jujube.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, ECS5 sounds like it's just really nice ingredients that
it
make
is.
It much
it's
better.
So smooth and like peppery and fresh when I take it.
Uh-huh.
It's really easy. I like I said, I'm a fan of CBD. And, you know, like many of you guys, I've tried CBD in the past and a lot of them just don't really do anything. So I have like given up on it before. But I really like Hempland USA because of their groundbreaking ECS5 product.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I think we might have a code for them,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. Susan, tell them the code.
So you can take 20% off of your next order at hemplandusa.com. And all you have to do is use our code. It's FAM, you guys. FAM. Really, really simple. You just use that at checkout. And you know what I really like also about Hempland USA?
Hmm.
Their mission is to help everyone feel their very best. And they're so confident you'll like their products. They offer 100% lifetime satisfaction guarantee, which I feel like is a big deal because I always want some satisfaction guarantee, right?
I love a satisfaction guarantee. Experience the Hempland USA difference today with our offer code FAM at checkout. So when I met Susan, the first time I met her,
The first time when she stalked me.
When I stalked you, I wasn't a mom then.
No.
But
neither of us were moms.
Neither of us were moms. But then when we started shooting together, before the Sass Susan tables turned,
mm-hmm.
she reached out to me to do a collab on mixed makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And you came to my old apartment in Brentwood.
Yep.
And Idris was like 4 months old, 3-4 months old. And that was the first video that we did. But when we started shooting the Sass, I would say Idris was like closer to 8-9 months.
Yes.
So when I met you, you absolutely didn't want to be a mom.
No, I was like, I'm not going to be a mom.
Yeah, I remember that. And so now your turn. Talk about it. Why? Why didn't you want to be a mom? So you're the oldest sister.
Uh-huh.
Did you? And you have a couple nieces and nephews.
Yeah, I have. Now I actually have a new niece.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. I have a nephew and I have three nieces now. But I also felt like I think upbringing really does a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
I get along with my family. I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
They are my life. But I also felt like, you know, I grew up pretty poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was in charge of my sisters. And actually, I had because long story. I also have two adopted brothers. Mm-hmm. So we had mm-hmm. a large family. And
I didn't
was,
know that, Susan.
Yes, I know. This is a conversation for another time.
Okay.
So I felt like I was in charge of my sisters, essentially, because my parents were both working during the day and stuff. Like, when I say I was in charge of my sisters, when I went off to college, like the first week of college, my sister called me and she's like, can I go over to so-and-so's house because mom and dad aren't here to, you know, like ask. And I was like, you got to ask mom and dad. I'm not there. Like, she just assumed that I could, like, she just calls me because I'm mom number two, like
right.
that kind of thing. So I think I felt like I had a lot of like raising of kids in my life. And I really, you know, my mom really drilled in me. She was like, you don't want to be poor. You don't want to be struggling. You want to get an education. I'm the first person in my entire family to get a college, to actually graduate from college.
Wow.
So
I didn't know
it was
that.
Like the first and foremost, like most important thing to my mom to like drill in me was like, go get an education, go start a career, make some money, you know, like go do something like that. Like, it's not always about having a family. It's not always about, you know, like taking care of others and stuff. And, you know, like, obviously, I now take care of my family and that feels really, really good. But that was probably like my driving force was my mom in my ear being like, go do what you need to do. And I just never saw kids fitting into that. I never saw marriage fitting into that either, which is kind of funny that I ended up being married with kids later. So I went through like my entire 20s being like very hardcore feminist, which is kind of funny because I've like really chilled out on being a feminist. Not that I don't support women, but I'm not as hardcore as I was. And I just didn't really envision that. I didn't see kids in my future because I had so much work to do in my mind. And I still do. I think, you know, it was really hard marrying an Indian man. I didn't realize was going to be very hard on the family to hear from me say that I don't necessarily want to have kids. Like, that was almost like, you know, it was when I had this realization, we got engaged and everything was like peachy and we were planning a wedding and all that stuff. But on our wedding, the first question we got from everybody was, so when are you having kids? And it was kind of weird to be like, what did I just get myself into?
You mean his side of the family?
My dad was like, she's not going to have kids. Like,
also, your parents were really young when they had you.
They were very young. Parents were, I mean, they're not really young, but they were young. They were, my mom was 20 and my dad was 19.
Yeah, that's so that's pretty young.
Yeah, that's young. And, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, ooh, this is going to be a touchy subject. And it actually made our first year of marriage really hard because, you know, what's funny is like, I don't think I realized how hardcore about not wanting to have kids I was until I got married. And suddenly it felt like a pressure to have kids because then I was like, then I start being more like, no, we're not having kids. Why don't you understand that?
Felt
and
like
I think
the decision was taken away from you or
well,
something.
Well, it wasn't even that. I think we just never had that real talk. I think maybe I was more open minded to having kids before I got married. And then when it started feeling like I had pressure, I was like, oh, no, I'm not having kids. Sorry. And he was like, well, we didn't discuss this, you know. And so, yeah, you know, that felt a little weird. And so I really pushed back on it and I stayed open minded and I thought about it and thought about it. We were married for 5 years before I finally said to him, you know, and it, you know, it doesn't sound very romantic, but I was like, I think I would regret more in the future, like when I'm older, not having a kid than having a kid. Like, I know I can do this.
Right.
And I also felt like my career was starting to go the way I wanted it to because I finally decided to be brave and start my own thing. Right. So I went off, quit my job, started Mixed Makeup. I had to deal with that baby first. And once I started feeling like that baby was going, I was like, you know, maybe I could handle a kid. If anything, I can handle one kid. I can do everything once, right? Like in my life. That's always been kind of the way I think about life is I can do everything once.
Right.
And we weren't actually where I wanted to be financially. We actually went to some therapy sessions, which
again
is a whole other topic. Yeah. And I remember I was like, we're not ever seeing this bitch again because she was like, well, what's the problem? And it kind of came down to, I didn't think we were financially ready.
And usually guys are the ones to think. I mean, in my experience.
Yeah. I mean, my husband was kind of like, I don't know. I don't know where his mindset was, to be honest, because now he's all about like, oh, God, we need to make more money. Like that's once you have kids and you're like, we need more money. But, you know, I was like, I don't think we're where we need to be financially. And she was like, the therapist, well, how much money do you think you need to have kids? And I was like, are you fucking questioning me? Are you questioning me right now? So we stopped seeing her.
I mean, that's that not an unfair question, though.
It was more like her tone with me, but I was like,
It's just a little condescending.
Because then he was like, because of course he was like, how much money do you think you... And I was like, okay, she just like turned this. She turned this all on me.
Right.
So we went to another therapist and then that guy was like an ass to my husband. And it's funny. You know what we got out of our therapy sessions was we don't like when people talk shit to our spouses.
Yeah.
Like we can talk shit to each other all day. But when someone makes us feel like bad and we see it happening, we're like, it's on. You know, like that. So I saw that guy be kind of like condescending to Arun. And I was like, we're never seeing that guy again. He was like, yeah, I hated that guy.
The therapy didn't work for you guys.
Didn't work in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
But it did work because then we like paired together. We were like a team suddenly, yeah, when we felt like people were on us.
Yeah.
But we're veering off. So I decided I wanted to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we could do one. And my husband was on board with that. He was like, actually, you know what? One seems good. Like everybody that we see that has one kid, the one and done couples, they seem like they're having a ball.
Right.
Like it didn't really disrupt their lives. Besides like the newborn phase, it looked like, at least to us on social media, right? Again, going down that deep dive of the social media and yeah, you realize like nobody has it worked out, but they make it seem like it. And it seemed like people with one kid were like traveling the world, making money. Nothing seemed to like, you know, nothing seemed to be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I can do this. I can do one. And he was like, I can do one also. Like, that's a good compromise. So we had our one. And I fell in love with that guy. God, I love my boy.
Yeah.
I love him. And what's funny is I actually had to really talk my husband into having the second one because he was like, I thought we were one and done. Like, yeah, this is what we agreed to. Because I think the realities really hit him hard. I think I knew from like my sisters and like being in that with my family, I knew what being a mom was going to entail and how hard it can actually get. And I don't think he understood. And I think that was overall my biggest issue when we first got married, was I don't think he understood how hard it is to have a kid. And then when we had our first kid, it hit him hard.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I actually think in some ways the first kid hit my husband harder, mm-hmm, than it hit me. I had a lot of anxiety, but I was like obsessed with my child right away. And I think for him, he was like, whoa, this nice little life I've been living is, yeah, getting turned upside down right now. So having the second kid, we're still in it. We're still in the trenches right now because, yeah, she's still an infant. But I think that was a little bit hard for him to wrap his head around. But man, did I love having my first one. And I just like look at this second one and I'm like, oh, but I knew I was done.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely knew I was done,
yeah,
because I went and tied. Actually, I didn't even tie the tubes. I cut my tubes out.
Yeah.
So I am definitely closed up. I closed up shop. I am done having kids. And I'm very happy that I went with two.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you brought up a couple interesting points, though. Like, I think it's a really honest thing to say that when you think about your life long term, will you regret not having kids, mm-hmm, when you're on your deathbed?
Not,
you know,
even deathbed. Honestly, it was like I was thinking about myself as like a 6-year-old. And it's like when you're doing all these things, I work a lot. You know me. Mm-hmm. I'm a workaholic.
Yep.
Like, it's like I feel like I'm drowning in work, and then I'm like, let's add one more thing to it. I don't know why I do this to myself, but I work, and I think it's because I genuinely love it too.
Oh,
like
for sure.
It feeds my soul to work and feel accomplished. But I thought about it and I was like, well, when I'm like 65, when I'm 70, because you know we're living like longer lives now too, and
yeah,
stuff. When I'm any of those ages, right? Even in my 50s and I feel like I've accomplished a lot of the things that I wanted to do. What do I have then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what? And, you know, when you like you look over at your husband, I love my husband. But at 65, I'm not going to look at him lovingly and be like, oh, we did it all, didn't we? You know, it's like you want to look over and be like, we did it. And we raised these beautiful souls. Hopefully they're not assholes.
Right.
And they've gone on to now contribute to the world. And you had a part of that,
yeah,
you know, like you have these people and, you know, there's a part of it that's also very like selfish, too, and narcissistic in some ways, too. You like look at your kids and you're like, you are the most beautiful masterpiece of my life,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
That's what they are. And now that I have kids, I realize how much like my dad always used to tell me this. He's like, life isn't worth living without kids.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think like, that's because you don't have that much going on in your,
yeah,
life, Dad. You know, like my dad's a very simple man. He likes things simple. But now I realize he was right. You,
yeah,
know, like what was my life until I had kids? You,
right,
know, what was I doing all of this for? What am I doing all of this for if not for my kids?
Yeah.
So, it's become a very huge realization for me in having kids,
mm-hmm,
especially being a person who was so close to not having kids.
I know.
Because I kind of pushed it. I mean, I had my last kid at 38 and you
38?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
38 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you just turned 38 a month before. But anyway, yeah, 38.
Yeah, 38. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I turned 38 a month before she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like I just kind of squeezed them into that mid 30s.
Mm-hmm.
time right there. And luckily didn't have any major issues or anything like that, even though it was a geriatric pregnancy for both of them.
I hate that word. You guys, if you don't know what that means, it's if you are 35 and older, you have considered a geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah, you're older. And so you have to go through like high risk pregnancy tests and they watch you closely. Yeah, because you could potentially run into issues, which luckily we didn't, besides me having to have C-sections.
Yeah.
Yeah. So besides like having the first emergency C-section, we didn't really have any issues, knock on wood, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I don't need a knock on wood anymore
because it's done.
I'm done having kids. But yeah, we got lucky. We decided to cram it in there and it's worked out. It's not easy. That's for sure. I'm definitely feeling it with the second one. Everyone who told me that, oh, it's easy. People made it seem like throwing in the second was like nothing. It was like a piece of cake. Like you just throw it. It's like you're already in it.
Yeah.
But I don't think so.
I feel like there's a little truth. Not that it's easy, but there's just, and I've told you this before, there just is more of a confidence going into it. This is my experience going into it second time around. You know it's going to be insane the first few weeks. You know you're going to be a zombie. One of the things I learned was compared to first time and second time mom was to just accept help, which is that part of that new, or second time mom confidence is you're more confident to leave your kid with your partner and take a shower or take a 30 minute nap or whatever it is. Whereas the first time it was like, I am the only one that it can watch this child. I created it and I am the only one that can keep
it
safe.
Isn't that weird that we do that? You know, I, even in just the hospital, the difference between the first child and the second child, I was on drugs and everything because I obviously had a C-section.
Yeah.
And I was on the painkillers and everything. And in the middle of the night, I'm trying to hold my baby.
Yeah.
Well, and not fall asleep. And the nurse came in. It was like probably 1 o'clock in the morning. She's like, you should put your baby down. If you fall asleep, it could be dangerous. And I was like, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
I like lied to her. I don't know why. To this day, I don't know why I lied to the nurse. I think it was because I didn't want her to take him away.
Yeah.
And I lied to her. I was like, I'm not falling asleep. And she was smart. She realized I was, and she convinced me to let her take him to the nursery for a minute. She said, she was like, I just need to run his vitals and I don't want to wake your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I let her take him. And then she actually didn't bring him back for like 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a little blessing because I wasn't letting go.
Yeah.
And then second time around, it was like the minute I was in my hospital room, it was like, bzz, yes, can we help you? Could you change the baby's diaper, please? And bzz, the baby needs a swaddle.
Yeah.
It was like, and I think they were kind of like, this isn't she supposed to already have been a mom? Yeah. It's like, doesn't she know how to do all these things? It's like, yes, I do know how to do these things. And I know I will be doing this forever now.
Right.
So I'll let you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that second time mom confidence. I think in that sense, things are, it's obviously unexpected things can happen, but you're not completely shocked. I think the transition from like Shahrzad to mom was much greater.
Oh, yeah.
Than, because once I was mom, already to Idris, being mom to Cyrus felt like, okay. I remember the first time I was like, this is my son. I was like, oh my God, what are these words that I've just spoken?
Cried.
It's so crazy.
I probably cried every like 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm such a crier. Susan, I just want to start by saying you look gorgeous.
Thank you.
But I noticed that you're kicking it up a notch with your health and fitness goals lately.
Yeah.
What you got cooking over there?
You know, after having a baby, you start to turn it a little bit. You get your groove and then you're like, I guess I got to lose a little bit of weight. I want to feel good again, right?
Yeah.
I want to fit in my clothing too. Mm-hmm. So I just downloaded that Noom app not too long ago and I started using it. And I'll tell you that they really do get you. So it's like all based on psychology and they teach you like why you want to do these things. And it empowers you with the tools that you need to break bad habits and also replace them with better ones.
Ooh.
And I was like, I don't see how they're going to do this. But when I started using the app, I realized they're right. It's just 10 minutes and it goes really fast. You're just answering questions and they really hook you in those first few days. You know, it's like sometimes you just need motivation and it changes the way you're thinking about weight loss and diet and all of that stuff, right?
So like some behavioral changes?
Kind of. So like it started really easy. I just answered some questions about setting some goals on the first day. Then like it moved me into the second day and it was just talking about like, you know, checking in on your scale. And it was really easy. And then it was like, well, so what was on your scale today? Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, I had this on my scale. And it pretty much was it. Like, it's, okay. you know, it's like just changing the way you think about it. And it really does play with your psychology a little bit, but I like it.
Oh,
it
good.
Really does help you. It's like baby steps. And that's really what I need to get in this kick.
That sounds awesome, Susan. You look amazing. I'm excited for you. I know it's going to be a great journey and you're going to crush it. I think it's really important to note that just small steps can equal big progress.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are interested, you can sign up for a trial today at Noom. That's noom.com/fam.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, you guys, it really, I need motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a really good way to have those baby steps to get you motivated to lose weight and to just, even if you just want to do it for health reasons,
mm-hmm.
it's really, really great. So you just got to go to noom.com/fam. Don't forget fam, F-A-M, to start your trial today.
That's noom.com/fam. Looking back, do you feel like the timing did work out for you? Like, are you happy that you waited to 35?
The topic that we were actually on. Am I glad that I waited till 35? No.
Okay.
Actually,
let's talk about it.
Well, okay. So I saw my sisters. They're both young moms.
Mm-hmm.
They had my middle sister, Veronica. She had her first child at 19.
Okay.
And then her second at like 22, I want to say. She's now in her mid-30s and she's like, I'm out, you
yeah.
know, like,
yeah.
she, well, actually, there's a lot more story to that because she's remarried now. So she's actually gone through like, she's actually like in second, like phase of her life
mm-hmm.
with like a new marriage. They're discussing children, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, do you really want to get back into all of that? Like you got through it
yeah.
already. But was she like pursuing a huge career and doing all that kind of stuff? No, she's been at the same job. She's one of those people that's very content with being in the same job. She's mm-hmm. working for the government. And she's in HR and she's been doing that since she got out of school. And
yeah.
she got like she got an associate's degree. So
yeah.
she went for like a couple years in college. But obviously it was too hard to yeah. maintain having two kids and go to college and stuff. So she got a job. My mom helped her get a job. And she's been at that job pretty much since then.
Yeah.
And she's content with that. Like that is the life that she likes to have. And I was opposite. I wanted to like focus on career only and go
yeah.
as far as I could get, like push, push, push. I still want to,
yeah.
you know. And but when I think about it now and I'm happy that I had kids, I kind of wish I would have started a little bit sooner because when you do get used to your lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
right, when you're in your mid 30s and you don't have any kids, any money you're making now, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be rich.
Right.
Like it's not too bad when you're, you know, just making some money for yourself
mm-hmm.
and you don't have anybody else to care for.
Right.
And so we lived like a very happy life together. You know, we went on vacations.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we had only a condo, but that's all we needed, right?
Yeah,
like you don't
right.
need a house or anything right. like that. We weren't worrying about, you know, like all these added bills of school stuff and all that, you know, like there was nothing else to worry about. So we lived a really very simple, happy life, my husband and I. And then, you know, we threw kids into the mix and we had to unwind that, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's no like going out to fancy dinners as much anymore and waking up whenever we want in the morning and everything. So you get used to that. Not saying that you won't get used to that doing it in your 20s also, but
right.
it's harder the longer you've gone doing that and living
I think
your
so.
Life.
Yeah. yeah.
Two, I just don't have the patience. I don't have the strength, the
energy,
like everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I am older and my husband is older and mm. he talks about it all the time. He feels like he's breaking. The second pregnancy, I thought my body would break a few times. You know, like it just doesn't bounce back the way it used to,
yeah.
you know. And I saw my sisters, you would never have even known that they had babies because they had babies so early in their
yeah.
lives. They just went right back to it and never even thought twice about it. And so those are things that I think about. Are there benefits to starting later? Definitely.
For
we
sure.
have more money
mm-hmm.
than we did when we were in our 20s.
Yeah.
Like way more money than we did when we were in our 20s. I'm way more confident in myself as a woman and as a mom and everything.
You're an entrepreneur,
like,
and you yeah. got a chance to build a business.
Yeah, totally. But I also like it's really hard to shift my mindset
mm-hmm.
into being like, well, but I'm a mom
mm-hmm.
and that's my job first and foremost. Sometimes I still work on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I still have to work on that because that wasn't what I planned on being.
Yeah.
So I think that
yeah.
that's also something to think about. But, you know, if you want to pursue your career and do all that stuff, you can do it, obviously, when you have kids. It's just so much harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? Are you happy that you had your babies when you wanted? You hit your timeline, right?
I am.
You like hit it right on the head.
I know. I am. I feel, you know, totally. I've been working since I was, you know, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been working for a long time. And I also felt like I was pretty established. And I had a very special job that's extremely rare and perfect for a first-time mom. I mean, I hosted a mom talk show and I got to bring my kid to work with me, and he was surrounded by like nannies and nurses and teachers. And anyway, so that was a weirdly special, unique opportunity that I had. So I feel like my transition to motherhood was really awesome. And I also got to be a mom surrounded by four other moms that I just to this day really admire and respect and will always love, the women who I hosted the Momsy with. So that was a unique opportunity. Second time mom was, you know, there was a lot of moments where I felt like I was drowning.
Yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. There was a cool feeling though for me after I had my second, because I at a minimum always wanted to. And I thought, man, this is cool. This chapter in my life can kind of end. And I'm not thinking about the next. I'm not thinking about getting pregnant again. Mm-hmm. My family is complete. You know, for me, for right now, I really, truly, in my heart, don't think I'm going to have another one. I don't think I can handle it.
I think she might.
I'm so tired, and I'm getting selfish again. And it feels good mm-hmm. to be selfish. That's really what it boils down to, is I am finally able to be selfish. And I love it. I'm a better person when I'm a little selfish. So to close that door on like, when am I going to have my next kid, or when am I going to have my first kid, or when am I, you know, and be done with that, there's a sense of peace and relaxation, as I'm sure you're maybe kind of feeling right now. And so for me, it felt good to have my last at 33. It felt like, yeah, good. That was good. I did that thing that I really wanted to do my whole life.
And no one's asking you, so when are you going to have kids?
Oh, people ask me all the time, are you going to try for a girl? As if it's easy to just like have sex and get a girl.
Yeah.
But no, my answer, I can't imagine adding in another human to the mix. Like, we have such a good thing going and my kids are healthy. And there's, you know, there's fear that I would have a kid that's maybe unhealthy. And I've heard, you know, anyway.
Listen, I went through that fear both pregnancies. You just cannot help but be worried and still be worried about what could happen to your child. Probably the worst anxiety I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Over what could happen to my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. In that sense, it felt really good to just sort of be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, I know that may sound a little harsh, but that's the truth. It felt good to close that door, because before that, I feel like for me, from the time I was maybe 15, 16, there was all this fantasy, like, I wonder if I'll ever be a mom one day. I wonder when that'll happen.
Fantasy.
You know, and or, you know, when you think about your life in the future and whatever. And then, as you know, because you mentioned, when you get married, so many people are asking, when are you going to have a baby? And then when you have that one, people are like, when are you going to have your second? And there's just all these questions. And then to just kind of put an end to that and have a complete family felt really, just really, really good. And it also, for me personally, like, feels, again, really good to be selfish. I'm finally, I think, out of that chaotic phase of being in the trenches with a toddler and a baby and a dying mother. That was the hardest shit I've ever been through in my entire life.
Man, so saying all of that just now made me, like, got me.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a lot that you went through.
Yeah, and it feels like, oh, it just feels like relief. And it feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I've commented that. I've posted about that before on like fam and on Instagram, that just hang on, mamas, because it seems like you're drowning now. But I promise you, for me anyway, and for a lot of other moms I know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Things still can be hard. There are rough moments, but I personally think I'm a better mom to kids that can talk and go to the bathroom by themselves. I know that, again, might be a little bit weird, but I think I'm a better mom to humans that can talk. I couldn't wait for them to just be able to communicate and eat by themselves and go to the bathroom by themselves.
Yep.
When you potty train Nikosh, it's going to be a whole new world.
Well, we need him to speak first.
Yeah, he's so getting there, though.
He is. But I feel that, man. I am in the trenches right now, and I do feel like I'm drowning. Like, I've told you, I just feel like I'm completely drowning right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know. Trust me, I felt like I was underwater for a good year and a half. Like, just couldn't even catch my breath. And, you know, just the pressure that comes with being a mom, and, you know, But everything.
But do you still recommend it?
Oh, without question, without any doubt, the greatest, best decision I've ever made in my life.
Is having kids.
Absolutely. Because for a million reasons, every hard thing I've been through, though, I feel like I can have a moment of looking at my kids and it all goes away. On the hardest days of motherhood, something will happen where I'm just like, holy shit, I'm so lucky. Like, Cyrus is a little bit of a challenging kid. He's strong. He doesn't want to do what I ever want him to do, like, you know, eat. Or no, he wants to eat, but not always what I want him to eat.
He always wants to eat.
But he doesn't always want to eat what I want him to eat or when I want him to eat, you know. And he doesn't want to wear the shoes that I want him to wear. And he's my little bull. And but when he looks at me and says, I love you, mommy. You know, mommy, will you come wee wax with me in bed? And like,
we wax.
It's just like the greatest thing in the world. I love being a mom. And I feel like in the last few months, I've been a better mom. And that feels good. There's a confidence that comes along with a little bit of time and being a little more seasoned. Obviously, I'm still, my kids are 5 and 3, so it's not like I've been a mom that long. But I feel like I've done some things in the last few months that have made me a better mom and enjoy motherhood more. And that feels like such a great thing to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And part of it is being a little selfish, taking some time for myself and relaxing and not putting pressure on myself and unfollowing moms that make me feel like I'm a piece of shit. You know, that's kind of a big one for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about this. Yes. I've unfollowed so many people because I'm like, you know what? You don't make me feel good about myself for some reason. Even though I'm 36 and I'm a confident, happy person, sometimes I can have a dark moment and be triggered by something I see on the internet.
Same.
And then I think, I didn't need to do that. You know, I didn't need to see that because now I'm a little in my head about who I am or whatever my purpose is and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, without question, greatest decision. Although I will say,
she's like, wait, can I take it back?
No. But in addition to that, starting my business was also one of the best decisions I've ever made. I think about how happy I am that I started a blog and a YouTube channel before I had kids. And then I had something going that was going to lead into this, you know, flexible work motherhood sort of situation that I've created for myself. I am really proud of my business and the things that I've done. And they are, you know, not as important as being a mom, but they're pretty high up there. And for me, motherhood wasn't like the only thing I wanted. I wanted work and exciting work. I've always been drawn towards doing something freaking fun, you know? And I feel like I couldn't have more fun than I'm having right now, you know? Like this is my job. This is so fun. So I think about that too. Even when I'm pissed at Michael, marrying him was a great decision. You know, it's still so, you know, I'm not one of those people, I would say, that motherhood was the only thing that was ever on my agenda. It was absolutely up on the list of things I felt like I needed to do before I do die. But so was work. So was friendship. So was really serious relationships with people that I love and respect. Because on your deathbed, you care about your relationships more than anything in the world.
Yep.
I'm assuming you don't have any regrets.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have time to think about regrets right now.
Yeah, because you're just going day to day and surviving.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm in that whole, when I say I'm in the trenches, it's like I'm co-sleeping this time around.
Yeah, okay.
Which I'm very proud of. I know a lot of people will give me shit about it.
Controversial
topic. Yeah, it is. But I knew before I had my second baby, I was going to co-sleep. And that has been helpful. And I also, you know, for selfish reasons, I was like, I want to have this baby like next to me at all times.
Yeah.
But it also means that she wakes up and she expects my boob in her mouth like whenever she wakes up. So that can be sometimes 3-4 times a night.
Right.
And that's how it goes, you know, and she wakes up. She actually, I appreciate it. She's on a routine of like 5 a.m. She takes a big dump.
Sounds so like me.
She's like, she wakes up a little bit and she kind of goes like, nah, nah, like she makes these noises, like she wants me to put my boob in her mouth.
Yeah.
And then I'll do it and she actually uses it. It's kind of like
coffee.
For her
I was just
going to
say that.
And she's like, she's got like my boob in her mouth and then she just goes, she just like lets it rip. And I fully appreciate it because I know it's going to happen and it's put us on a little bit of a morning routine.
Yeah, schedule. Yeah.
So that's kind of good, but that's what my life is right now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to talk about that kind of dirtier side.
She did get poop on the bed this morning.
Oh my that was awesome. God. My life has been just filled with so much shit. Like literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, yeah, and actually that's part of my trenches too. Nikosh is almost three, not potty trained, and he takes man shits.
Yeah.
Full on man shits. And so that's become a nightmare for my husband and I. My mom was here for the holidays too, not too long ago, and she never complains about anything. And we were kind of like, she'll go change his diaper.
Yeah.
And she takes him up to change one of his poop diapers. And she came down. Again, my mom is like a saint. She's like having a baby nurse with you. I wish my mom was with me at all times. Yeah. It would change my life. And she comes down. She's like, I don't want to change his poop diapers ever again. She's like, that was a nightmare because he takes full man shits.
I remember.
It happens.
Yeah.
And so we do have to potty train soon. So I will be hitting you up for all the tips.
Yeah. Do you feel like with Isla, since you know she's your last, that you're sort of savoring the moments even more? Because with your, I mean, for me, I did.
Yeah.
Like when I was nursing Cyrus, I really enjoyed it. Second time around, I didn't know if I would because it was a little harder the first time than the second time for me, but I felt like there's something about being done or knowing that you're done having kids with that last one that you just you just calm down a little bit
you
or something.
Calm down. I actually wish I would have been the way I wish I would have had the mentality I have now with my first. I actually may have only had one had I had that same mentality because I am enjoying having a newborn or an infant, I guess. I'm enjoying having a baby now this time around.
Right.
Whereas I don't think I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my baby, but I didn't enjoy the experience as much the first time around because I had so much anxiety. I just didn't know what the heck I was doing. I felt like a zombie. It felt like literal torture the first couple of months to have a baby because of the lack of sleep and not being mentally prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that, you know, I might not have had two, actually, had I enjoyed the first experience so much more. The problem with the second one is I have a toddler to deal with.
Yeah.
And so I don't get to savor those moments too much because he is definitely not letting me. He's like, no, you put her down. He actually tells me it's time for you to put her down and we need to play and stuff. And you know, like, I appreciate that stuff, too. And he does need those moments. But I don't get to, she doesn't have that, like, relaxed, chill, you know, first year of life like he did. He had such an amazing like first year because we did everything for him, and now she's kind of like, she's cried so many more times than Nikosh ever cried his first year, because it's like she's over there on the bed. I thought she was chill while I'm like trying to wash his hair in the bath really quick, and I hear her start crying, and it's like I like actually yell out to her, wait a second, Isla, just wait a second, I'll be there, just so that she can hear my voice. But I never had to do that with Nikosh. He would like start to cry slightly, and it'd be like, we're right here. We're here. Stop crying. Whereas she has to deal with being left for a second while we deal with the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you want to go back and tell your first time mom self to just relax.
Chill out.
Remember putting so much pressure on myself to like, get back to work. I was like,
same.
I want to travel. I want to work. I want to pretend like nothing happened. You know, I want to be on a plane. I want to go to Europe. I want to, you know, my first like day back to work, which again, I had a very, very easy transition back to work because of the Monsu. But we shot a music video and I was like, I just had a C-section, but I'm going to drop it like it's hot in this music video because I can't not work. If I don't work, I don't make money. I don't want to miss out. This I've worked hard for this. I can't step away. Everything will crumble. If I leave now, like my whole business is going downhill. That was how I felt.
I 100% felt that way.
You know,
and my business did. That will be a whole other episode.
Yeah.
My business did take a turn for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the reality, right? But I also, looking back now, it's like, I didn't need to push myself so hard. And I certainly didn't push myself hard with Cyrus.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm good. I'm going to watch TV for 8 hours and nurse him and be in my sweats that I've been wearing for 8 days that probably have some really gross stains on them right now.
Yeah. my nanny. I know that sounds funny to say, like, my nanny. But you guys, I obviously have a nanny because I'm here right now doing this recording. Like, somebody's
Isla
gotta
is
watch.
Not on her tip right now, guys. She might be one day.
One day. My nanny was like, she was helping me with some of the laundry. She's like, I saw that you had something weird on your jeans. And she's like, did you want me to get that out? I was like, that was shit. And I wore those jeans 3 more times.
That was literal shit.
That was baby shit. But baby shit's not that scary. It's not. Infant shit is not that scary.
No.
It's the big boy. It's big boy poops.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Big boy shits are
scary.
That's when
it's
I
nightmares.
Potty
it's
trained
the stuff
both
that
of them.
That nightmares are made of.
Yeah. That's when I was like, full speed ahead. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who were like, how'd you know? How'd you know that you were ready to potty train?
Oh, you know.
Did they show signs that they were ready? I'm like, I don't give a shit about their signs. I was ready. I was throwing up practically. I was gagging because they were so stanky.
Ew.
I'm like, that needs to go in the toilet.
And I have to go home to that later.
I know. Oh my God. When I potty trained Cyrus, it was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. Not that it's a walk in the park. I still have to make sure he like goes to the bathroom. I still have to be in there with him, but I'm not. It's not the same.
Yeah.
I can leave the house without diapers.
Yeah. You know, you're not making having kids sound very good. So I think we should, I think that's our cue.
To end on it. We got to end on a high note.
Yeah.
Though,
so guys, how about a mom win?
Yeah. A mom win.
I don't have any.
Okay. Well, now that we're thinking about mom wins, you will have some mom wins and we'll pull from our Facebook community to get mom wins from you guys too. But, you know, I took Cyrus for a little date and I feel like he hasn't really been old enough to appreciate solo dates with me until kind of recently. And we went on a nature walk and we found a black beetle and we found some sticks. And then we went and he got a haircut and we got an orange juice. And it was like the most perfect, calm little day. And I've had a lot of dates with Idris.
Yeah, your oldest.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to start taking my little baby on more dates. He loved it. I tell you, when kids are alone, when you have more than one and they get alone time with you, it's such a treat because they're not fighting with their sibling and you get to give them all the attention that you want to give them with no distractions. And I'm pretty strict about not using my phone too much when I'm with my kids. And so I really got to just soak in his little cute body and his little face and just to watch him explore. So that felt like a really big mom win for me. Really awesome. Big to just have a date with my kid.
Awesome.
Just one at a time.
Mom win.
Stress-free. Mom win. Woo! Think about your guys' mom wins and go in our Facebook group and we'll ask you guys to share them and then we'll share yours so that, you know, if that wasn't a win we had, we can share yours.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Was that English?
Yeah, that was English.
Do you guys like our podcast? Do you like my podcast voice like this? I feel like this one was more organized than the first. So that's
We're
good.
Getting there, guys.
We're getting there. Yeah, this was a great therapy session for me. I learned more about Susan and I'm excited about that because I love her so much. It would be great if you can subscribe and download this podcast. And leave us a review and rate us.
Is that what people do?
That's
download
what people
podcasts?
Do. Yeah, you can download it. You can subscribe. You can support
Stream
this.
It.
Stream it. Stream it, baby.
Yeah.
Support us if you like us.
Support us. We'd appreciate
we
it, guys.
Support you.
Yep.
Love you.
Love you.
All right. We'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.